Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavaditamastomavidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 22. This is also confirmed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself in these words, Srimad Bhagavatam 11:24-19. The material universe may be considered real, having nature as its original ingredient and final state. So, the reality means that its origin is the material ingredients, right? And its resting place is that. In other words, Pradhan is real because it's the Lord's external potency, right? Then all the different forms that are made, then they're also real, whether you consider them or not. But the point is they're temporary. So if we're looking at temporary, then there'll be a problem. Is that then any of the forms we see, then we can say in that way they're unreal because they're there, but then they'll disappear, right? So in other words, considering the connection with eternity, then they're temporary, so therefore unreal. Yes.
Can we say that Pradhan is eternal?
Yes, Pradhan is eternal.
Mahat?
Mahat, that will be what will manifest and not manifest.
So temporary.
Yes, but because that process is always going on, and that way you can say the Mahat is eternal.
But then the forms are also going on?
See, well, Mahat from the principle, because it's the primary creation. Okay. Sometimes it's manifest, it's not, but it's always the same. Okay. So that is manifest by the will of the Lord, that these are the forms, these are the options that can be used. Okay. Right? This is the... What is it? Samasti, right? This is the Samasti form of the Lord as Paramatma. That it has all the different, 8,400,000 forms, all the different, 14 planetary systems, all the realms, you have the oceans, you have the flatlands, you have the mountains, you have, all valleys, all the different, whatever it is that is there within the, as residential places, right? All the different planets, everything like that, the mechanical, whatever. That's there, so that would be the Mahat. Right? So in that way, it's based on the Lord, because that's the next point that will be made. So in that way, you can say it's eternal, because the whole material creation is called Mahatattva. But it's manifest, when the Lord breathes out, it's there, when the Lord breathes in, it's not. But the Pradhan, as the principle, the ingredients of the material, they're always there. Just Mahat means they're separated into 24, and Pradhan means then they go back into merge as one. Right? So basically you can say these two are the eternal principles. Now, what Brahma creates, that will be what is temporary. That's definitely, because that will be based on the karma of the living entities. Right? What it is they need, what it is they desire, that will be manifest. And that will be constantly changing because the nature of the living entities is constantly changing. Does that make sense? So that is the part then generally we'll talk about real and unreal. Because it's real that it's made out of the 24 elements. And it's based on the primary creation. It's unreal because it's illusion to think that what it is, that's important, and that's what makes it. Because it's a house and it's a roof over our head, and that's what we want. We want that shelter, therefore it's real. No, it's that the Lord is giving shelter, and this is just His elements that He's doing it through. Does that make sense? So that's why we say it's both real and unreal. Its existence is real. The value we attribute to it, that's what's unreal. Right? So the dog is in the form of a dog. So that, based on the primary creation, it has the dog form. That's why we call it a dog. And it does dog stuff. So in that way, it's real. But that this is our, you know, cute little yovie-dovie, little our best friend, that part, that's the unreal part. Okay? Did I get it right? Sadly enough, but just for the record, we were not dog people. Yes. Okay. But when you hear dog people, it creates a samskara. So, therefore, that principle, that's where the illusion is. Because we attribute to it something that it's not. This is a shelter, this is our friend. Dog, man's best friend. But it's not. Krishna's man's best friend. But because that the nature of dog has that kind of aspect of loyalty or that element of servitorship, therefore, then man seeing that because he wants to be the controller and enjoyer, dog's the only one that actually agrees to it. You know what I'm saying? Your goldfish couldn't care less. Hamsters just squeaks and gets longer and shorter, you know, like that. You know, the baby crocodile grows up, you know, and starts biting things, so it doesn't seem to. You know, horses, it's all about them. You know, cats, it's like, you know, by their benevolence, you get to live in their house. You know, so dog's the only one that actually will agree that you're the lord and master. Like that. So therefore, then dog becomes man's best friend. Because, you know, out of all the living entities in the universe, they're the only ones that'll agree that you are the controller and enjoyer. So it's like, you know, they gotta be friends, right? You know, you gotta see them in a positive light. Right? So, yes. So that is the point in question, because that's the part where we become an illusion. Not because the dog is there and does dog stuff, but because the value we attribute to the dog and the dog stuff. That's why we'll say it's illusion. Is that okay? Yes.
I think this point's also significant about the non-difference, because according to the Madhvas, who are hardcore dualists, Brahman is the efficient cause, but not the material cause of material nature.
Yes, yes.
So that's the distinction that we have.
Yes, but also at the same time, is we can accommodate that distinction in that Brahman, the energies of Brahman are transforming. So you have the formal cause and the original cause. So the original cause is Brahman, but then his energies is the formal cause. That will then generate the primary creation. But then what we see is manifest, that will be then done by the modes of nature. Because before that, there's no modes. That the modes exist, but they're not the ones creating it. Mm-hmm. So then at that time, then you'll have the material cause, and I can't remember what the living entities are called. Like the instrumental cause, or, you know, they think they're the official cause, or whatever. So in other words, what happens is reflected. You have the Brahman and the energies of Brahman as the masculine and feminine. Then it comes here, it's reflected, then we take ourselves, but we're the efficient cause, and material nature is the material cause.
Yeah.
That's if we have a brain. Most people just think, I'm doing it and that's it. They don't actually understand they're not actually doing it. The material nature is transforming.
Yeah.
So from that, with the four aspects of causation, then we can accommodate that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a good chance that they won't bring in, you know, by purpose, they don't bring in anything that has a oneness aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not worried about it. You know, just like the Sris and the Vishnu Swamis, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, actually, everybody's not, even the Nimbarkas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't have a Yeah, there won't be a standard. But the mud was because these other three have already gone before. Nimbarka, Vishnu Swami, and Ramanuja have already come before him. So he's the last of these four creatures. So whoever wasn't caught in the, you know, by these other three sampradayas, then he, using the dwaita, then tries to destroy any, because what? Why won't they? Because of impersonalism. Mm-hmm. So then he doesn't even give any leeway like that. So it's not that these subtleties aren't appreciated, they just won't discuss them on this side of the viraja. Mm-hmm. Like that. Once you get to the spiritual world, then they'll discuss them. But very rare do they ever discuss them. You hardly ever hear them talking about what Madhvas talks about in the spiritual.
Yeah.
Like that. You know, so they're strong creatures. But then because of this, due to a lack of understanding or immaturity, they somehow or another juxtaposition themselves against the other Vaishnav sampradayas also. Mm-hmm. But in actuality, mud was not. It's just that, you know, it's just like you tried all the different pleasant medicines, so now you get out, you know, the real, you know, strong one. Like that. So that's all. Because if there's any point of oneness, then they can kind of maintain that hope.
Yeah.
You know? Just like I remember, just when I came in contact with the devotees, everybody has a shaved head. I thought, okay, you got a shaved head. And then I saw on the back of the BTG cover, they had the Panchatattva dancing at Rath Yatra, and in there, Garadhar had long hair. So I was thinking, well, maybe there's a chance. You know, so that's the whole point, is that if there's anything left, mm-hmm. they'll hold out. Mm-hmm. So that's why he doesn't give any, you know, space for any discussion on oneness. Mm-hmm. Even though it's not technically a problem, but because what he's left with is cleaning up those who wouldn't adjust to actual nice, pleasant preaching. Because you see, as you know, what comes first is Nimbarka, one and, you know, two. So it has both elements that would be in a Chintabheda Veda Tattva, but they're separated because it just makes it easier to understand. Right? And then purified oneness. So that also then you see is it's a oneness that's purified, so that emphasis on, so that's also, then you get down into Vishnu, Ramanuja, with the pure, you know, how you say, qualified oneness. That you're qualifying it, but the point is they may mix the qualified or the pure or the dwait part. And so all of them have that oneness in it. So who didn't surrender at that point, then he leaves out that one and only says two. Does that make sense? So the difference between what they're saying and us is basically only the Tattvavadis will look at it that way. But actually, if we understand the pure Madhva philosophy, then it's not a problem. It's just like let's say you're having a, you know, in the kitchen cooking, and everybody cuts themselves on the knives and graters and that. So then you just run your kitchen in such a way you don't need knives. Mm-hmm. Not that knives aren't good, it's just that everybody's got, you know, 10 thumbs and they're always getting cut, so therefore. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Is that,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so Krishna. The material universe may be considered real, having nature as its original ingredient and final state. Right? So it's original ingredient and it comes out, and its final state it goes back to. So that pradana is stable. Lord Mahavishnu is the resting place of nature, which becomes manifest by the power of time. Right? So he's the resting place of nature, so therefore also you have that element of reality, because it's his energy. Like that. Thus nature, the Almighty Vishnu, and time are non-different from me, the Supreme Absolute Truth. Okay, so in this case, then nature would be the Sambandha, you could say in one sense, Sambandha aspect, the, how you say, time would be the Abhideya, and Mahavishnu would be the Prayojana, because he's the goal. Mm-hmm. Right? So because all the ingredients are made out of the one, it's just a combination. With time, they're combined, and the result they give is for the Lord. Right? Or you can look at it that Mahavishnu, he's the Sambandha, he's the existence of everything. And from that comes time, its combinations of, are, how you say, its manifestation that generates all the different varieties of things, the material nature that we're looking for as a goal. Mm-hmm. Right? Does this make sense? So in other words, these three are real, and they're non-different from him. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just expanded from him. Does that make sense? So in this way, then, the Lord is the masculine, and then time and pradhan, or the material energy, would be the feminine. Yes?
There's a number of statements saying that the Lord is understood in the ablative, the material energy comes from him.
Yes.
The instrumental is maintained by him.
Yes.
And the locative is... enters again into him.
Yeah.
These three, are they equivalent with the Sambandha Vedanta Yoga?
Yeah.
Instrumental.
You could. But the point is he would be all of them, because he's the one that is performing, so he would be the subjective. But he's also what is being directed at, so he would be the objective. But he's also then time, so that means he's the verb. You know, and then the instrumental that held that. And he's the cause, so then the accusative. Yes. Dative, yes. So it's all there. It means all the... It's all his. That's why it says that from Narayan then comes all the syllables.
And the living entity also assists.
Yes, and the living entity assists. So in this way he is everything. That's why he says... You know, in Gita, he says, you know, he is the yajna, he is the ritual, he is the performer, he is the ghee, he is the chant, he's the results. So that's the point, is he's everything that's of value is him. Because what's of value has to fit into the verb and those six nouns. Right? Then, in finer detail of that, then you'll have all the other 18, you know, varieties of nouns and that to back it up. But they're subsections of those main six. Like that, because it's he is all that, but which one he's in, there's a different flavor. That's the important thing. That's what the Mayavadis miss. They think that because it's one, then it's just all the same. But no, it's one, but there's the variety in taste. Just like Sambhog and Vipra Lumba are the same, because where's a place where there's not the Lord, but there's a difference in taste. There's a difference in taste. Okay. So that's all. It's just the variety of rasa. So, yeah. Yes.
I was just thinking that for Mayavadis there's no rasa.
Yes.
And they have many errors in that one.
Yes, because of that. They're leaving out that which creates the rasa. Because why? Their motive for that is because rasa within the material world always gives pain. So then their idea is, okay, get rid of the rasa, get rid of the pain. You know? Yeah. They don't seem to be on the principle of no pain, no gain. Or no pain, that's gain. You know, they're just trying to get to that. So that's why that whole thing. So tattva, on one sense, they'll have, but the problem is because tattva, we see in the Dasamul, then he is rasa, like that. Then that's going to be a problem for them. You know, because rasa means then there has to be the multiplicity and the interactions, and you have to be able to discern within that. So that would then get rid of, okay, it leaves him as the supreme absolute, right? But then you have to leave out the energies, you have to leave out the jiva, and so when you leave out the jiva, then the three states of the jiva, and then since there's only the supreme, then there's no achinta veda veda tattva. So basically, and Abhideya and Prayojana go. So they only accept basically the Shastra and the absolute position of the Lord. So 2 out of 10 they accept. Because they don't accept the other 8, then their understanding of those 2 is also not complete. Because most of what's discussed in the Shastra will be about that, dealing with the 8. So then, like that, yes. You know, so they're motivated. So that's why, if you have motive, personal motive, there'll always be something wrong. Right? You know. In this way, it is seen that the words Janmadyasya Yataha from the Vedanta Sutra and Srimad Bhagavatam hint that the Supreme has a form. The material universe is one of his limbs, and his many other potency are other limbs. They all rest within him. Thus he is the original cause of all. Paramatma Sandarbha, 105, 56-64. Adhikarana 2. Okay, so that's the finish of the first Adhikarana.
No, this is Jiva Goswami's commentary on the second sutra.
Okay. This is the opening to the... opening to the Adhikarana. Okay. So now, Adhikarana 2, the origin of everything. Right? Janmadyasya yataha, right?
Yes.
Summary. What is the absolute, the origin of everything? Right? So then, Srimad Bhagavatam 111 and 5.12.11. Since the word bhuma indicates the jiva, the word brahma in the previous verse, 23, bhuma tveva vijyatna. Vijigya sitavya. One should inquire about bhuma. Okay, so one should inquire about the Supreme and one should inquire about the living entity.
Yeah, that was the first verse in the Govinda Bhashya that was quoted by Pallavi Devotion.
This verse?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so since the word bhuma indicates the jiva, the word brahma in the previous verse should refer to the jiva. Also, since the jiva is the subject of the discussion of husband, wife, and others in the Chandogya Upanishad, 8.23.6, and the dictionary meaning of Brahman is something great, the jiva, Brahma, and sacred words. This misconception. So, this is the doubt?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. So,
okay. What's the doubt?
So, the doubt is...
that Brahman is jiva.
That Brahman is jiva. Okay. It is said in the Taittiriya Upanishad 3.1.1. Bhrigu asked his father, Varuna, O great one, please teach me about Brahman. Varuna said, one should know Brahman, from which all entities arise, by which they live, and into which they enter at death. The doubt is this. The Brahman, that is the subject of inquiry, the jiva or the Lord. Okay. So that's what we're trying. Because the idea is that if we're talking about now it's time to inquire, Brahman doesn't have to inquire. That means the jiva has to inquire. So then the point is you know, So who is it about? Is it about the Supreme or is it about the jiva? Does that make sense? That's the doubt. So it comes from Atato Brahma Jigyasa is, are they talking about the jiva or they're talking about the Supreme Lord? Right? So it's just another doubt that comes up. In other words, the whole Vedanta Sutra will be addressing doubts that come up from those who oppose the principle of the Supreme Lord as a person, the jiva as a person, serving the Lord in devotion. Right?
In the opening paragraph, you say that's the sanctity there between the previous one and introducing.
Yes, you could say that, because then it will be addressed, because it appears what he does is the doubt's brought up, then the verse answers it. So you have the point that's made, means in the previous Adhikarana. Then from that whole Adhikarana could come another doubt that's addressed in the next Adhikarana. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it seems to be a very nice way that he's put it together.
That's what Madhva says about the first sutra, is the very fact that there's jigyasa, inquiry, means that the Brahman cannot be jiva. Because if the jiva is Brahman, then it's self-revealing, self-effulgent, so there would be no need to inquire into it, because it would already be...
Yes. So that means there has to be a difference between the jiva and Brahman, otherwise what's the meaning of inquiry?
Yeah.
You know, unless just Brahman's getting really bored, and then so therefore it sits around and inquires about itself.
Yeah.
Yes. Downright stupid, but whatever. Vijnanam brahmached veda tasmach chenna pramadyati sharire papmano hitva sarvan kaman samas shnute. The person knows. The person knows vijnana to be Brahman, and if he does not deviate from that understanding, giving up all sin in the body, he enjoys all desirable objects. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.5. This must refer to the jiva, since vijnana refers to the jiva. Jiva is the subject of meditation. So who's saying this now? This is the Purvapaksha.
Yeah.
Oh, this is their point. Okay.
It's elaboration of the doubt.
This is elaboration of the doubt. Okay. This must refer to the jiva, since vijnana refers to the jiva, and jiva is the subject of meditation, and since the jiva can become the cause of creation and destruction by some good karmas, according to the scripture, which was mentioned in the previous quotation from the Taittiriya Upanishad, Yato va imani bhutani. So they're holding on very tightly to this point that they are the controller and enjoyer. Because if the jiva is the one that's causing the creation, the maintenance, and destruction, because the scripture does mention that the point is why is something manifest? Because the jiva is interested in it. Therefore, you can say the jiva is the cause of creation. But they're not the ones that are creating it, maintaining it, or destroying it. That's done by the Lord. Does that make sense? So, but they'll take it to this point that no, the jiva is doing it. Why? Because they want to say is that Brahman is undifferentiated, so there'll be no change in Brahman. So that there is change, that's because of the jiva. Right?
Upadis.
The upadis, yes. So the jiva is, how do you say, so it makes sense if you separate it off in one sense. You know, you say, it's okay, the jiva is the cause of this. Yes. But then the problem comes up is that the potency for this creation, maintenance, and destruction can't be coming from the jiva. Because if it is, why is it we have 7 billion people on the planet who are not satisfied? And that's just us. If you could hear the bugs and everybody else speaking, they would also not be very happy. You know? Like that. So, yes. You know, as the tick-ticky crawls up, and just as he's almost there, then the bug flies off. I'm sure he has a very choice tick-ticky, you know, language that he uses. So that point is the living entity is never in control. That's the point. So once you look at it like that, then it has a problem. All of the points that they're making make sense within Vaishnava Vedanta, especially Chinta Veda Veda Tattva. But in their own philosophy, it makes no sense. Because the point is technically there's nothing there in the first place. So if there's nothing there, why are you worried about it? That you're an individual and you're suffering. It's not that the suffering doesn't exist. You don't exist. So it's all this. So what's the point of even discussing it? But they're attached because they're jivas and their energy. They have to be connected to something higher. They are naturally attached. And they want to be happy. And they want to be eternal. Therefore, they're applying the needs of the jiva and then using their philosophy to explain it. But they don't do a good job because their purpose is just, I'm God. See what I'm saying? So that's where the difficulty comes up, is that they're claiming that there is no jiva, but their whole philosophy and need to be involved in that is because they are. So it doesn't make sense. Only the Vaishnavas can make sense out of this. The impersonalists can't make any sense out of this. Mm-hmm. So as we see, is they're always doggedly holding on to somehow or another the controller and enjoyer. Right? They may have given up karma in the way of enjoyment, but at the same time is they're still trying to be the supreme enjoyer. Right? As Brahman, then they're the supreme enjoyer. Does this make some sense? Yes.
So they want to merge into the effulgence.
Right.
So do they recognize that that's the effulgence of Krishna? Or?
No, no. They just think Brahman exists on its own.
Okay. So how, when they do finally merge there, how do they think that they're going to be God?
No, once they merge, then they're just that they are Brahman. That's all their only consciousness. So they make no distinction between themselves and Brahman.
But you said that they want to be God.
Because the Brahman is God. So okay. Then they're Brahman, so therefore they're God.
Okay, and before that they're not, because they're under illusion.
They're under illusion, but actually they are, they just don't know it. So they remove the illusion, then they'll be God.
Okay, so that's why they call each other
Narayan, yeah. Yeah. No, it's just, so in other words, it's just, there's serious problems here.
Yeah.
You know, like that. So in other words, they're more gross materialists than the karmis are. Because
yeah.
The karmis just think, at least I only identify with this part of the energy or that. But they're trying to identify the whole thing as them. You know, so it's just an extreme. If you can't get one thing, then you want it to be extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that. You know, it's just like, you know, your toy breaks, so now you want all the toys. Or something, you know, like that kind of a thing. That's the...
Srila Prabhupada said that after they got tired being Hitlers and Churchills, and then they become Mayavadis.
Yes, because, you know, it didn't really work out for them. You know.
There might be an interim period between that.
Yes, maybe a slight interim period.
Very hot one.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Siddhanta, in reply, the characteristic of Brahman, which is the subject of inquiry, right, is stated, right? So, in other words, the tato brahma jigyasa, the inquiry is actually about Brahman, because the doubt is it's not about Brahman, it's about the jiva. So now it's saying the answer to this is, then Sutra 2, right? Janmadyasyayataha. From that Brahman arise creation, maintenance, and destruction of this universe, because otherwise they were attributing it to the jiva, right? The compound Janmadi is a bahuvriti samasa called tadguna samvijnana. Implied qualities are perceived along with the object itself.
That's, I think that's the effect and the cause. The effect existing within the cause.
The implied qualities are perceived, it means, oh, the effect means,
yeah,
what you can get from the object.
Yeah.
So the object itself and what it can do.
Yes.
Are implied. Like you have the pot of water, mm-hmm, and it's implied you could satisfy your thirst,
mm-hmm,
if there's water.
Yeah.
When I mention of creation, it's implied also manifestation.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Thus it means creation, maintenance, and destruction. Asya refers to the universe consisting of varieties, inconceivable to the jiva, made of the 14 worlds and to the doers and enjoyers from Brahma down to the immovable beings, undergoing the results of various karmas. Footnote 24. Jiva Goswami says, these jivas, quote, all perform various actions and attain various perceptions and experiences, and that the universe is filled with, quote, a great variety of times, places, actions, causes, and results, a variety that is far beyond the power of the human mind to comprehend, end quote. Paramatma Sandarbha, 105-55. Okay, so they're performing all various actions, but they can't even conceive of the whole thing. The only one that can actually understand the whole thing, technically, is Brahma. Right? It means not that Shiva and Narada and them can't, but it's just not necessarily where they focus their attention. Like that. So Brahma's the only one that kind of knows, but even why it's like that, that even he may not know. Only the Lord knows. The meaning is one should inquire about Brahman, the supreme, endowed with inconceivable shaktis, who is both the creator, efficient cause, and the material ingredient, cause, from whom there arises yata, creation, maintenance and destruction, janmadi. Okay, destruction, janmadi of the worlds, and beings from Brahma to the immovable plants, asya. Janmadi, so janmadyasya. Okay. Footnote 25. Srila Prabhupada gives a thorough refutation of the materialistic proposition that the universe has a material cause. Such a claim is akin to aja gala stana nyaya, or trying to milk the nipples on the neck of a goat. Right. Because the whole point is for the materialist, there is only the material world. Therefore, by a combination of matter, you get the soul. Right? The life comes up somehow or another. Right? That's the modern science. All this is the way everybody looks at it. Then you have the impersonalists who say there's only Brahman. So therefore, for there to be living entities and the creation and everything, means the concept of jiva has to come from illusion. Right? And the illusion is the material world. So that means jivas, again, are coming from the material energy. So both materialists, the karmis and jnanis, don't accept that, or don't know, that the jiva comes from the Supreme Lord. So both of them are going to make this mistake. So only Vaishnavas say that jiva comes from the Supreme Lord. All other philosophies will say that the jiva comes from material energy. Right? They may have other nice ways of saying it and all this and that, but they're not going to come up with that. So. Yeah.
Want to be?
The want to be what? I didn't hear.
Want to be in the illusion. Like the system is there, right?
Want to be in the illusion. Because we want to enjoy. We see is that the jiva by nature performs activities and that will generate happiness. So then it's a matter of do you identify, perform the activities and gain that happiness in connection with the Supreme or not? But that they're going to do activities that generate happiness, that's their nature. They're going to do that. But the point is do they want to do it in the mood of servant, so therefore in connection with the Lord, or do it in the mood of master, and therefore in illusion? That's all. So the jiva is only acting according to its nature. It's just a matter of consciousness, whether it will be spiritual or material. Okay. Yes, that's all. Just we're stubborn. Means been here since time immemorial. That's called stubborn. Yeah. There is no direct engineering by the Lord for the creation and destruction of the material world. What is described in the Vedas about his direct interference is simply to counteract the idea that material nature is the creator. Srimad Bhagavatam 2:10:45. Right. So making the point is the Lord does not actually get involved in the creation, but it's all based on his desire and the principles, but the energy carries it out. But we'll attribute it to him just so that you don't get the idea that material nature herself is carrying it out, because otherwise, like we said, the karmis and the jnanis, they'll both think like that. So that means all material consciousness will think that the jiva is connected with the material energy. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole problem. You know, it's just even if you take your monotheistic, you know, which is, you know, borderlining on the Vaishnava aspect, they accept the Supreme Lord and all this, and that we're serving the Lord. But at the same time, they also maintain that we'll enjoy. You go to heaven, you'll be happy, you'll enjoy. You know, and that's why it's all made, is for our enjoyment. So God created this whole creation just for us to be happy. Like that. But then the point is what is the soul? Some will say it's the gross body, some will say the subtle body, but they can't differentiate as it's separate from that. So again, gross and subtle body are material energy. Does that make sense? So even though it'll sound like it can go beyond, so that's why even though it appears that it's something beyond, but it won't get beyond, but it coming in contact with Vaishnava Siddhanta, then it can appreciate it because it's on the border of having that. In other words, its proper philosophy is spoken, but how people understood it is then how they practice it. So they'll understand it from a more materialistic point of view. Therefore, it's practiced like that. But it's not that it can't. It's not open to the point of the transcendental. So if they identify with it too much, they're too attached to the form of it, then they can't accept what's beyond. But if they're not, they're more interested in what actually the purpose of religion is, then they can appreciate the Vedanta that's beyond and take up devotional service.
It's just like accepting the spider nest, but not accepting the fact that spider nest came out from the spider. Energy, but not realizing.
Yes, but in this case, what's being pointed out is that the energy itself carries out the work. He's the efficient cause because it's because of him that it's able to happen. Just like, why is your refrigerator doing refrigerator stuff? Because of the electricity. So the electricity makes the heat or cold and whatever machine it is, makes things go around, you know, like this, the wheels on the bus, all that kind of jazz, right? Like that, you know, so this is, we're talking about a more enlightened community where it's got an electric bus and that kind of thing. I'm not sure if that's Santa Monica, but whatever it is, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah? So, but the point is the electricity is doing everything, but what's the electricity based on? On the generator. So the generator is the efficient cause. And then the electricity is the material cause. You understand? Yeah, because it's doing so. The whole material creation is being arranged by the material energy. But if we leave it at that, then people will say, oh, energy is the cause of that. So your shaktas and all these other kinds of materialists, the impersonalists, they'll all say, oh, yes, they'll catch that quicker than anything. But when we say, no, he's the cause. Then we'll accept that. But what's hard to is that he's the cause, but he doesn't do anything.
This is the most evil there.
Yeah, so that's why then, depending upon the situation, it'll be talking about one or the other. Okay. Yes?
I'm confused about all those causes.
About all those?
Causes.
Causes.
Regional, formal, efficient, material.
Yes. See, when we're talking, just taking efficient and material, we're just talking about two, means the Lord and the material energy.
That's easy.
Right? Now, subtlety within that is now that the material cause is carrying out, right? That the various forms are, means various, you know, elements are transforming, creating various forms, the forms are doing different activities, mm-hmm. right? That's happening here on this level. So, where is that originally from? Because does material nature create the rules in that? It's just dead matter. That comes from the original, which is the original cause, the Lord, and his internal potency. That's the formal cause. So in other words, you can take it that you divide the whole four aspects of causation into primary creation and secondary creation. Does that make sense? So the original and formal is primary. That's the Supreme Lord and his internal potency. Right? But then what we're dealing with is then the secondary. So here we're thinking that we're the one doing it, but we're just an instrument. Because the material nature is going to transform, and so we can be an instrument in according to the universal form, what is the rules that govern it. Okay, let's try like this. There is the concept of blending, right? So that's the original cause. Then that, so therefore to blend, you have to manifest that you as this, you know, that's the primary, right? Blending is the primary. The secondary is the blender. Okay? So now we bring it to the next stage of causation, right? Now, then we're actually now going to have manifest a blender, right? And then there's going to be the person who is involved in the blending, right? But they're not actually blending itself, right? We can't say, I am blending, right? The principle of blending. No, I am only an instrument, right? So then we're the blendee. Right? You understand? And then the blender itself will blend, and then you end up with something that's blended. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? But that blending can go on with a blender, that's already in the primary element, the Lord and His internal potency. Then you bring it down to the secondary, and then you have, we're involved in it by putting things in the blender and putting the lid on top, at least one hopes one does, and pushing the button, and that is plugged in.
So, can I try? So original and formal would be the primary creation, the Word and His internal nature.
Yes.
And from this, we get the efficient force.
I'm not sure if it's always used as efficient. Do you know it's the third one?
Well, the way the example that's given, like in the philosophical literature, is like you're creating a table, and then the wood and the nails are the ingredient or material cause.
Right.
The carpenter is the actual efficient or instrumental cause.
Right.
The idea of tableness or the formal blueprint, that's the formal cause. And then the reason you would need a table in the first place and what you want to do with it, the purpose of it, is the actual final cause.
Okay. Yeah. So that would be from us, or that would be from Aristotle?
That's Aristotle, but it's still...
Yeah, because he doesn't go... He's looking at these four on this side.
Yeah.
While we're taking it, those other two are actually on that side.
Right.
So once you bring those two to this side, then that way you'd have four again.
Yeah.
But they're still the same thing.
Yeah.
Because what he's living at is, he's saying the carpenter is actually doing it, but what we're doing is he's not, because the plane has its nature, and he's an instrument there, but he's not shaving the wood off and making the wood smooth.
Right,
the plane is doing that. So again, it's material energy.
Yeah.
Then the sanding it. Then that's the sandpaper is doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So again, material energy. So. All it is he is the jiva, has the desire to be involved.
Yeah.
So he's taking it on more gross form.
Yeah.
He's not catching fully.
Yeah,
but, you know, it's nice, and because he has that concept, then the philosophers kind of can relate to what we're talking about, but it's still a bit subtle. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So, does that make sense? Doesn't make sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense, but just it's not very...
So...
Because we are confusing a few terms?
No, because the terms can be moved around in a few places.
Okay.
You know, it's just like Mahavishnu is how do you say? Mahavishnu is the super soul of the Mahatattva.
Mm-hmm.
Garbhodaksha Vishnu is the super soul of the universe. And Kiridaksha Vishnu is the super soul of every living entity. But you could say is that the universes and the living entities are within the Mahatattva, so then Mahavishnu would be the, you know what I'm saying? So it's just the terms overlap. So the jiva may feel he's the efficient cause because he's the one doing it, but actually it's the Lord, because the potencies by which he can function and act are coming from him. So that's why we would generally put that position is the instrument. The instrumental cause.
The jiva.
Yeah. See, so here's Aristotle, he's the efficient cause, because the carpenter actually thinks he's getting it done. But the principles of carpentry work are coming from the Lord, from the in the primary creation. So therefore, the original and formal cause are why carpentry work can work in the first place. The jiva takes part in that, so because in actuality he's an instrument, but in his own mind, he thinks he's the efficient. You understand? That's why there's a confusion. So you see, is the material, it's clear. Formal is clear. Original is clear. The problem comes up is in that way of using, because ultimately it's Krishna's the efficient, and then the material energy takes. So we don't even count the jiva in there. When we're just using two, efficient and material, we're not counting the jiva.
Okay, no. So it would be the first one would be the primary, or the original, and the one.
Right.
And then the secondary would be efficient again, the Lord, because we cannot leave him out of there.
It's based on him, but this is now the actual manifestation of it.
And instrumental would be the jiva, and material cause would be the material nature. How?
Yes, material nature. Yes. So material will always be material nature, because you see, as the internal potency is what's transforming into external potency. So the same person is doing the one as the formal, but that's his internal, what, Krishna. But once you transfer to the external, that's what the jiva is dealing with. So the jiva, if the jiva is as an instrument and involved in the process to please the Lord, then you're dealing with the yoga mind. But it will come through the form of the external. See, that's the difficulty with the Chintaveda Veda Tattva, is that all these things can go on at once. And even though they're all going on at once, simultaneously, we can distinguish them if we want, but we can see the commonality. So we can see both the Samasti and the Vyasti within it. We can see the Beta and Abeta. We can see them both. You know, so it's a Chintya that they can be happening at once. So that's where the confusion comes. Because most people don't like confusion, therefore they'll do much better with another philosophy. It's all one, it's all two, you know, it's one or two. But there can be both of these at the same time. That becomes a problem. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj talks about the two, the efficient cause and the material cause. He says, Maya is the efficient cause and Pradhan is the material, but actually Krishna's both. He gives an example of the nipples on the neck of the goat.
Yeah.
It comes up in the purport.
Oh, in the purport here. Same, okay. But we know we're in line because we end up, or our conclusion is what the purport's going to talk about. So if we ended up with something else, then we know we've got a problem.
The other terms they use is immediate cause.
Immediate
cause. Corresponds to the efficient cause.
Immediate. And that would be?
The efficient.
The efficient.
Yeah.
But that would be in terms of the Lord or the living entity? Or the Pradhan or the Mahat?
Just in that position.
Okay, that position. Okay.
It seems that efficient, instrumental, and medium
can all be the same thing. It's just depending on which you want to bring out.
The remote.
Is this right?
Remote. Okay, then the remote. So efficient and remote can also be the same.
Maybe that's one way of breaking down the efficient.
Okay. Oh, is that it's remote?
Yeah.
Okay. But what you said there about the Pradhan and Mahat?
Pradhan is the material cause and Maya instrumental.
Instrumental or efficient.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because she's actually doing, but it's the material is what's transforming.
Yeah.
Yeah, so even within Maya, then, there's a distinction.
But neither act independently, so Krishna's the
Sarvakaranakarana. That's the whole point. Is ultimately, he's the cause of all this. Because when we're talking here, we're talking about Mahavishnu and the material energy and how that transforms. But ultimately, all that's based on Krishna. Because it's Krishna's desire for the living entities to come back to the spiritual world. Therefore, having that desire, and then he expands himself as Mahavishnu to take care of that aspect. Because otherwise, Krishna himself, this Mahavishnu is only interacting with Ramadevi. But it's Ramadevi who's transforming, right? But the idea that you're dealing with that material energy, or dealing with that transformation, that's that you don't find in the personality of Krishna. Right? In Balaram, it's there, and not potential, because he doesn't manifest it. Balaram, when he expands as Vasudeva, Mahavishnu, that's where you see it. But otherwise, that you see that's in the personality of Balaram. That's why there's a difference. you know, and there's more in Vasudev, so you see more of it there than when you get to Mahavishnu, then you see that's the full form of that. You see? So that nature is different. But otherwise, he's the ultimate cause of all causes, because it's all about his desire and how he wants it to go, because it's Icha Shakti. So when we get down to the Jnana, that's where then we see all this goes on down here. And so because the Jnana then has those two aspects of the environment and the attitude, so then you're going to have the environment, which is going to be what's transforming, then the attitude, which is making it happen. Right? So the environment, the Jnana aspect would be the, how you say, the material cause in this case, and then the attitude, that would be Maya, and that there, or that's the living entity, and then the external energy. So the thing is, since it's always two, this is where the point comes, is that everything that you're dealing with can always be divided into two. You know, so the jiva is doing it, but actually he's the instrument. Or the material energy is the one that's transforming, but she's transforming in the form of as Maya and as Pradhan. Does that make sense? Yes. So that's the... That's why it gets confusing. Mm-hmm. So if you understand the masculine and feminine principle, then it becomes easier to balance.
Jnana is divided into two again.
So when you have Icha Kriya and Jnana.
Yeah. That would be Sankarsana and Pradyumna.
Yes.
And the one would be environment?
In that way of looking at it.
And then environment would be the material cause, and the attitude you said, just mentioned.
That's what Prabhu was talking about. Krishnas Kaviyas Goswami is that Maya is the efficient cause or the instrument, and then Pradhan is the material cause, because that's just ingredients. So the ingredients, Pradhan is transforming. You know, Maya herself as a person is the one who's arranging it, but that Maya herself is the transformation of the internal potency. So she's the transformation of the formal cause. Yes.
Another concept is that the formal cause is the internal potency as far as the spiritual world goes.
Okay.
Because that's where the tables and the beds and the relationships and all the forms ultimately stem from.
Yes, yes.
So everything here is just
reflection. Yes, reflection of that.
Yeah.
So the Mahat, then the primary creation, as we're defining off the primary, is based on the reflection of the spiritual world. Because there's a table there in Mother Jashoda's house. Therefore, in the primary creation, there's the table, right? Okay. The tableness and table, right? Tableness and tablehood.
Yeah.
You know, said those two are there. So if we're only talking about what's within the material creation, we talk like that. But originally, it comes from the spiritual world. Therefore, you know, mountains have their thing, the forests have their thing. So the concept of, let's say, those who live out in the forest have a particular nature. That comes from the Palindas and all that that's there in the spiritual world. Right? And then that comes down here. So that would be then, if you're taking Krishna as the original cause, that would be beyond these, then you would put it into that kind of category. Have to think about it more. Just when you thought, okay, we got... Oh, no. Yeah.
Maharaj just mentioned the material cause being an expansion from the formal. Is it also correct to say that if you look at the living entity as the efficient cause, then in his mind, he's being the original cause,
yes,
the reflection like that?
Yeah, because he thinks he's God. That yes, that would be the point. Why you can call the living entity the efficient cause, because he thinks he is.
Yeah.
Not that he actually ever is, but because he's an illusion, he thinks, I'm the doer, therefore we call him the efficient cause and the material energy, the material cause. And for most people who, only within the Vedic, then they may understand this. Outside the Vedic, generally they don't make that distinction, really. Other than just, okay, I have ingredients, but they don't take it that they're doing. They're thinking, I'm the one transforming it. So they basically just center it, but they're just like Krishna's original cause of everything, so you don't necessarily discern the other forms of causation. The jiva also, in being the efficient cause, doesn't discern the other aspects. You know, like you're saying here, Aristotle's idea, the carpenter himself is the one transforming. Right? You have the ingredients. How did he put it together?
In terms of the ingredient, the efficient, formal, final.
Okay. Formal is what could be made, and final is why he would.
Formal is the blueprint.
Blueprint, yes. Yeah, so in that way, we both have the same concept.
Table.
Yeah, it means the table hood. But they put ultimate is because of my desire to have a table rather than tableness. Because they don't catch that table hood comes from tableness. So they're kind of putting those two together into their formal. They're not discerning that. Because it still comes down to my desire. So, which is replacing the point as Krishna's desire.
Yeah.
Therefore, there's the concept of the table.
Yeah.
So it's parallel, but it would be looking at these causation without the Lord in it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, how you say, sans Socrates. You know.
Yeah, and that table exists for Krishna's pleasure.
Yes.
That's the real cause.
Yeah. Yes, and for us, it's...
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I am the cause of all things.
Yes.
But the cause for it existing is my pleasure.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So Aristotle, therefore, would be popular. You know? Mm-hmm. Because then it comes down to us. Well, that was why Socrates wasn't popular, because there was an absolute that we have to come in line with. Mm-hmm. So that means he's taking the material and stretching it to all four. Well, we've reduced it down to two, and then there's the absolute beyond in the other two. So he's accommodated within that.
But that's why Bhagavad Gita is stressing the living entity to give up that identity as the cause,
yes,
and as the enjoyer of the actual.
Okay, cause. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they won't catch us. Like, let's say, okay, there's a blueprint of the thing, but the man made the blueprint. They don't catch it. No, the concept of table actually comes from the Supreme.
Yes.
And the actual point of desires come from the Supreme.
Yeah.
So they bring it down. I make the blueprint. I fulfill my desire.
Yeah.
I do the work, and then there's material ingredients.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, does that make any sense?
Then, while awakening the identity, of her identity to be a servant in the relationship, then in that case, the jiva is perfectly conscious of herself being an instrument in all respects and effects and transformations.
Right. Yes, then you could refer, it means when the jiva is conditioned, then he would be looking at it from how they can control and enjoy. When they see themselves properly as a servant of Krishna and all that, then she would be able to function in that capacity. Does that make sense? So in other words, the living entity in the conditioned states always referred to as he, because they're trying to be the controller and enjoyer, which is the masculine principle. Right? On the spiritual platform, then it can be identified as she, right? And tattva. But in rasa, yeah, then there will be masculine and feminine depending upon the relationship with Krishna. Like that. But here, just like there, the jiva is feminine, but will identify with what's the form of expression by masculine and feminine. Here, they're all masculine, but depending upon which gender they have, then they're identified in that way for rasa. You understand? For rasa there, they're identified as male and female. And for rasa here, they're identified as male and female. In the material world, they're always male. In the spiritual world, they're always female. So, that's why the jivas in the shastras always referred to as he. Sometimes the feminists get bent out of shape about that, but the whole point is why they get bent out of shape, because they want to control and enjoy it. Therefore, hence he.
But the actual he doesn't bend out of shape to control and enjoy. He is the control and enjoy.
What's to get bent out of shape?
Of course, it's sarcasm.
Yeah, because he. He is bending and he is shaped, so therefore there's no problem.
He's
yeah.
Threefold.
He has threefold bending, yes. You know, and it's a very nice shape.
Well, this is a whole other aspect of gender segregation. Male and female.
Yeah, so that's why you see is that the separation between male and female is a very strict policy. So those jivas who think they're male, they're all segregated from the material world. And then the spiritual world, all those who think female, they're all there. Like that. So there is a very strict segregation. You know, so therefore, if they don't segregate, that because all you're dealing with is he's. So it gets weird. So, you know, we very clearly and cleanly just get rid of all those 56 different combinations, because they're all he. So, what do you want?
It's not even two anymore.
It's not even two. It's all, yeah. So it's just
the way some people categorize them as 56 different types of mental illness. Which
might be okay.
I'm sure
okay.
There's more.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So, moving on. Okay, the Vedic direction for the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material world is this. Yato va imani bhutani jayante, jena jatani jivanti, yat prayanti abhisham vishanti ti. In other words, everything is created by Brahman. That's Taittiriya Upanishad. Everything is created by Brahman. After creation, everything is maintained by Brahman. And after annihilation, everything is conserved in Brahman. That's the fun part. Prabhupada quotes all these Vedic Sanskrit, and he has no problem with it. So that's the thing is, he knows. If you know Vedic Sanskrit, you already have to know classical Sanskrit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's just like if you have someone who has a driver's license in Formula One, means they already have one in cars. You understand? Mm-hmm. Like that. So, Prabhupada's use of the Vedic Sanskrit means he knows Vedic. That means he already knows classical. So then any of the, you know, fools that think that he doesn't know classical Sanskrit so well are basically just, how you say, digging themselves deeper and deeper into the hole of, you know, being idiots. That's all. Yes.
Is the Upanishadic Sanskrit the same as the, like, Samhita?
Yeah, it's the same, because it's all Veda. Yeah. So that means this. If you understand Vedic, because it all has swara, it means this is here. Yato va imani bhutani jayante, yena jatani jivanti, yat parayanti avisham vishanti ti. Like that. Those are all, it has to be chanted with those notes. Mm-hmm. Because of those notes, that's the problem, is because those notes also apply to grammar. Mm-hmm. It's not just like, you know, Bhagavad Gita shloka.
Yeah.
You know, that you put any two you want. Mm-hmm. This is, you chant it different than that. The grammar is different.
Right.
Brahman has different ways of chanting, so it's either meaning Brahman as Brahmajyoti, Brahman as Supreme Brahman, mm-hmm. Brahman as Brahma, mm-hmm. like that, or Brahman, you know, like this. So it has all these different meanings depending upon the swara. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's the thing. Vedic Sanskrit is much more technical. So if Prabhupada knows that, mm-hmm. why would he know the classical? And then these idiots, then they think, oh, Prabhupada didn't translate this, oh, he doesn't know this, he doesn't know that, because they learned a little, you know, Moni or Williams, you know, it's kind of like, you know, kick on their face, mm-hmm. kind of thing. In other words, Moni or Williams is thick, use that to whack him up the side of the head. Maybe some intelligence will awoken. Like that. One has to be very, very careful about these things. It's just, So, here is Prabhupada's using it here. Everything is created by Brahman. After creation, everything is maintained by Brahman. After annihilation, everything is conserved in Brahman. Mm-hmm. Gross materialists without any knowledge of Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan, conclude material nature to be the ultimate cause of the material manifestation. And the modern scientist also shares this view that the material nature is the ultimate cause of all the manifestations of the material world. Right? So, therefore, they're kind of like the perfect combination between the Karmi and the Jnani. They use their intelligence how they can enjoy themselves, like that. Because it's all, there's no God, it's all like this, it's all impersonal. At the same time, it's all for enjoyment, like that. So they're very unique. You know, that's why, just by quoting scientists, like if I say philosopher, okay, that's philosopher, what about the practical? But if we say scientist, it includes the philosophy and the practical. So, mm-hmm. you know, much easier, you know, your basis of authority.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They say we are the world.
They don't say. That was a group of people who, you know, had very strangely matching and fitting clothes and, how you say, hygienic standards. Then they all said, we are the world. that. Did I get it wrong? Or? No? Okay. Means exactly that. It doesn't mean to know. They say that we know everything, but like that, so their opinion is the opinion. I was just meaning that particular combination of words in that phrase, and went back to that particular time in upstate New York, I think. Yeah. And it was quite muddy also. The view is refuted by all the Vedic literature. This view. Like that. So all Vedic literature does that. So if it's misunderstood, it's a misapplication. There's no Vedic literature that agrees with that. That the material energy is the ultimate cause. Like that. Yes.
So whereas some of the darshans don't get this point.
No.
It's refuted in the Vedic literature.
Yes. That's why is they only deal with certain portions. Like that. But for us, it doesn't matter what the verse is, we can explain the proper philosophy. Even if it appears. Because in the Upanishad, we'll be talking about the oneness of the soul, and then we're talking about the difference. So therefore, the impersonalists will only take the ones where it shows the oneness. They'll avoid the difference.
So this is not accepting everything in toto. In one sense, they're accepting, but in another sense, they're not.
No, yes. That's why we say they're Vedic. They're, you know, they're the element of, agnostic, right?
Yeah, agnostic.
Yes.
Denial that it can be proven.
Yeah. So the accepting that, but at the same time we say they're incomplete. Mm-hmm. Because they're taking parts that are correct, but because they don't have a complete thing, then they try to put it together, then it becomes a little weird.
Make up things to fill
them. Yes, they have to make things up to fill them again. So that's the problem. Is that, you know, that therefore when you get to the gap, it, you know, since it's all material energy, it's all illusion. But then where does this illusion come from? Well, it comes from the jiva, right? The jiva is, you know, like that. So therefore, because of its desire, then there's illusion. But then, you know, where is the illusion comes from? The jiva. But where does the jiva come from? Oh, they come from the illusion. You know. Mm-hmm. And then, but where does all that come? Oh, the desire of Brahman. But Brahman doesn't have desire; can't transfer. So, when you get to this point, it falls totally apart because they're not keeping. So, up to the point of liberation, then the steps are basically the same: performing your duties without attachment to the results, like that. Then that will work. But once they get up to there, that's when it all falls apart. That's why they come back here. They don't have the completeness, so they can't transfer themselves to the spiritual world. Mm-hmm. So. Okay. The Vedanta philosophy mentions that Brahman is the fountainhead of all creation, maintenance, and destruction. And Srimad Bhagavatam, the natural commentation on the Vedanta philosophy, said, Janmad yasya yato anvayad itaratas chartesh vavigyasvarat, etc. So it's saying here, because then we're knowing that Brahman is there, this is a transformation, but that's based on the person, the desire of the person, therefore all these things are happening. Because it's a generic, therefore the generic aspect of Krishna is Brahman, the generic aspect of his energy, or the energy, therefore the energy of Brahman is transforming and the whole creation, maintenance, and destruction is going on. Right? Does that make sense? So Krishna is not involved in that. He's involved with his internal potency, personally interacting. Mm-hmm. But the creation is still him, it's still based on him. But that's done by Brahman and the energies of Brahman that transform and make everything here, because these are generic. Mm-hmm. Right. That, that makes sense. Okay. So,
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki Jai Nitai Gaura Prema.